Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin AC, the Padres beat writer, Jay Posner, across the way from me. Yes, we're in the same place. Probably the fourth or fifth time this season, but I'm back in town, just like the Padres. Jay Posner, Sports Editor of the Union Tribune. Jay, big homestand. Big.
Big, big.
Waiting for it all year.
Big for visiting fans, especially.
Yes, that's, you know.
Red Sox Nation will be here this weekend, and Dodger Nation, or whatever they're called, will be here at the beginning of the week, and both those teams, I believe, played each other in the World Series last year.
And one of them very well could be headed back there, and the other one, the Red Sox, that are here, what, they're seven games out in the wild card? They play in the, you know, usually monstrous American League East. They're in third place there, and I believe they're
I would say it's still pretty monstrous American League East.
It is.
The Yankees are 83-46. Uh-huh. We saw Tampa here. They're 75-54. And the Red Sox are 68-61. 15 games behind the Yankees.
And seven back of, what is it, the Rays? And then, like, I know the Indians are right in front of them. And who's the second wild card team over there in the
Oakland and Tampa.
Oakland.
Oakland and Tampa, half game apart. And and Cleveland another half. So it's I would say the Red Sox chances of making the playoffs at this point are slim to none, and leaning very much toward none.
So then you would say that the Padres' chances of making playoffs are none to slim, and leading very toward, why are we even talking about it?
Right. So, I thought we stopped that a while ago.
So the Red Sox are in town, and here's one of the things that's exciting. Besides, I do want to see, look, earlier this season, even when the Dodgers fans were here, it was earlier in the season, and like I just said, it was earlier in the season. And what I mean by
was
that
it earlier in the
we know what was happening earlier in the season. The Padres were winning, and there was a lot of excitement, mm-hmm. and so there were a lot of Dodger fans, but there were so many Padres fans, and it was like electric atmosphere.
Right.
I just have a feeling, given where we're at, given the fact that the Red Sox, the mythical Red Sox, are who they are, and they don't come here very often.
Right.
I think this is going to be more like what we've seen in past years, where and that means for Manny Machado.
Well, and I also before we get to that, I also think it probably would have been pretty close to that even if the Padres were good, because I think when these tickets went on sale, mm-hmm. I mean, I know for a fact one of the people here in the office told me he's had his tickets since February.
Wow.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there are many others like that. The Red Sox don't come here much. It saves you having to drive to Anaheim to see them, you know, to be able to go right down the street, go to Petco. So I would think that this would be a huge weekend for the Red Sox fans anyway. Add on to that, the Padres have not played well lately, but you could also say, okay, subtract a little bit that the Red Sox haven't been all that great.
That's not going to matter.
But
to
I don't
the
think
folks.
No, it's yeah. not going to matter, especially for folks who bought tickets a long time ago. So I think this will be a lot of Red Sox fans, and so that will enable people who, you know, want to take the usual shots at San Diego fans to take their shots. And but look, the atmosphere out there this year has been different.
It has.
It's been much better. It's dropped off a little bit, but tonight I think it'll be somewhat electric in the sense of the Red Sox here. They aren't here much, and as you started to say, Manny Machado. So go ahead and set that up.
To me, when it drops off, right, and it's only been recently, that has shown me as much as anything the direction that it was headed earlier in the season. Because
right.
last year in April, it was like, you know, you could have held church there,
yeah.
you know, and slept, and that didn't happen until recently, and only when, like, the Rockies were in town, you know, and you got two struggling teams and a team that's here all the time. It has been a fun place to watch baseball. Funner. That's a word. So,
funner.
Manny Machado, and I look forward to this. First of all, just the Red Sox, right? And,
right.
And like East Coast, and I just, you know, he played in the same division as them the first six plus seasons, and then of course there was the World Series last year, and I look forward to it, because even though Manny's going to play it down, I know he is.
Right.
There's just this electricity, and when it matters enough to people to hate a guy, and I'm talking not like Dodgers fans boo Manny, which I know that's what fans do, but that freaking bugs me. It just really does. First of all, they're not like real fans anyway, and there's just a lot of them, and then they just boo Manny Machado, who, you know, helped them get to the World Series.
Right.
Anyway.
And he did suck in the World Series for the most part, so I understand why they're upset. But the whole idea, look, I've talked before, the whole booing thing, I don't get that anyway.
This is going to be like,
But this will be...
Like he went to Fenway.
Right.
And he's a villain because he actually hit well against them when he was with the Orioles.
Correct.
And... there have been some other things.
Yeah, he may have had a slide into Dustin Pedroia that may have been a little bit much and may have hurt Pedroia. And whether the slide was clean or not, I don't think...
It's
Manny Machado. So, and Pedroia, godlike figure in Boston, you know, basically hasn't been the same, I think, since then. And the fans who already hate Machado just because he's Machado are going to really hate him based on that. There was another incident... after that, with people throwing at him, including Eduardo Rodriguez, who's tonight's starting pitcher for the Red Sox. And then there was a little thing in the World Series last year where he may or may not have tried to step on, I think it was Steve Pierce's ankle. So Red Sox fans are going to be booing Machado, and he will be booed here at Petco like he normally would get booed at Fenway Park or Yankee Stadium or a place like that.
And hey, so again,
so that's great.
The whole thing was about excitement.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, that's fine. And look, if nothing else for the Padres have to be thinking, maybe it'll snap Machado out of what he's been in. He's gotten a few hits lately, but I think it's 18 games now without a home run.
July 30th was his last home run.
Right.
What is it, 78 at-bats?
78 at-bats since then. This is 18 games. It's funny. He's had two or three other streaks of 18 games in his career. He had another one of 22. And he had an unbelievable one. And both you and I, when I told you this yesterday, you were like, that can't be real. And I looked it up twice and actually like an idiot, I'm counting on Baseball Reference, like 1, 2, 3, 4.
Just to make sure.
50 games he went without a home run. What did I tell you, 2013?
13. It had to have been because he was hurt in 13. But it was all in one?
I believe it was all in one. I believe it was all in one stretch. And during that time, he hit like 320 and had 25 doubles, but did not have a home run. So anyway, I'm sure, you know, the power numbers have dropped off for him recently, just like they have for Hunter Renfro.
Yeah.
You know, we should point out, if people didn't read your story today, they should have already read it, but they should read it. And you talked about home runs.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
It didn't get into, and I really do, I've been working all season on getting into, like, so what is so hard about getting on base, Padres? And it's really interesting, and I want to make sure that it's, you know, kind of comprehensive. What this story was, is the Padres are one home run away from tying their team record for home runs that was set last year.
Right.
But see, last year what they did is they broke a record that was set in 2016.
Wow.
So I say that to say, so what?
Yeah.
And so what, especially since the Padres have a .311 on base percentage, which is, what, fifth, sixth, seventh from the bottom, which is a huge improvement for the Padres since they've finished five straight seasons last in the majors in on-base percentage, never higher than .300. So they're trending in the right way, but the problem is they're also about to set a record for solo home runs. They just don't have – you know what is the real – measure of a team here? Take the Astros, take the Yankees, take the Brewers, the Cubs, the 3-run homer.
Right.
That's the Padres don't have them. They have like 14. But like the Cubs have like 50.
Earl Weaver ball.
It's 3-run homer.
Right.
And the Padres just don't put enough people on. There's not, you know, enough consistency. They didn't have a lot of guys that came up through the system to learn how to hit this way. Now, positives, Josh Naylor on base and slug. Luis Urias on base. Not so much slug, not so much average. obviously, Fernando Tatis, even as he struggles, Manny generally still getting on base.
Right.
You know, it's been a down month.
But he's still around his career norm or career average, I think, for on base.
Guys coming up through the system, learning a new way to do plate appearances. All of this, Manuel Margot, since June 3rd, .357, I believe, on base percentage.
Right.
All of this is Hunter Renfro's .299 on base percentage. Provided he can hit home runs, which he hasn't done since August 10th, but he has 31 this year, isn't so big of a deal if other guys can get on base. But
right.
The Padres' problem is, like, two or three guys are hot, then they go cold, someone else gets hot. So anyway, the fact is the Padres strike out too much. They're about to set a record for or they're on pace.
Yes, the franchise franchise record for strikeouts, which they set way back last year. They're on pace right now to finish, I believe, 50 strikeouts ahead of where they were a year ago. So that's still a big problem for this team. They strike out more than any team in the National League.
I hear if you don't put the ball in play, then you might not get on base.
It can be difficult unless you're walking.
Do you know what the most amazing part to the story? I should have said this when I was talking, when I was diminishing the importance of home runs, and I say that somewhat tongue-in-cheek. They're just a problem when they're only solo home runs. One team is already 20 home runs past their team record this year. That's the Minnesota Twins. 13 other teams are on pace to break their franchise record for home runs. That's how cheap the home run has become.
Right, and that's why when the Padres, it's like, well, they're hitting more home runs. Well, everybody's hitting more home runs. And the idea, I mean, obviously the ball's juiced. It's juiced in the minors, as we've seen from numbers, especially in the Pacific Coast League. It's juiced in the majors. And so, you know, yeah, people are hitting more home runs. So, of course, the Padres should be hitting more home runs. And getting on base, hey, 311 doesn't sound like much. I guess it's better than 297 or where they have been in recent years.
Far
but
better.
It's still 10 to 15 points, I believe, below mm-hmm. the league average. And the better teams are even obviously even higher.
Padres in the since June 3rd, about when Manny Margot started to show us that he could actually get on base, I think it's 326. That's still only middle of the pack.
Yeah.
And their home runs have come down. Amazingly, they're scoring a run more per game. Weird how that works when you put people on base.
I was going to say, you get on base, imagine that. So the other interesting thing among many tonight, Chris Paddock pitching against a very, very, very good lineup. The Red Sox second in the American League in runs, first in batting average, second in on base, fourth in slugging. You look at their lineup, and except for Jackie Bradley Jr., who still has 16 home runs, almost all of them have adjusted OPSs above 100, so above average. The top guys...
That's amazing.
You know, J.D. Martinez has 28 home runs. Devers and Bogarts have 27 each. Those two guys are both way over 900 in terms of OPS. Mookie Betts has 21 home runs. The catcher Vasquez has 18. They hit the ball all over the place. And Paddock, it's another test for him, and to go against a really good lineup. He hasn't pitched quite as well lately. He's had some, I wouldn't say he's been poor or anything like that. It just seems like there's like one inning, one stretch that gets away from him a little bit. And he, obviously tonight against a team like this, he can't afford to fall into that trap where he leaves an 0-2 fastball in the middle mm-hmm. of the plate or an 0-2 changeup in the middle.
Or that, just even in the wrong place even, against
right.
good hitters.
Yeah.
I think that I would not be surprised if we just don't see the best Chris Paddock the rest of the year. It was a couple months ago, I think, or at least a month ago, I started to ask, like, does this guy throw too many strikes?
Right.
And it's a question that's actually being asked around the league. And Padres, no. Well, now the Padres are saying, yeah, you know, Chris Paddock. But Chris Paddock, if his change is on, he can shut down the Red Sox. He can.
Right.
If it's not, and he's fastball dependent, the change leaks a few times. That's all it's going to take. The curve is getting better. It's still not an out pitch. Chris Paddock, let's remember, is a rookie. Chris Paddock right. Where are we at now? 119 innings or something like
somewhere
that?
Somewhere around there.
And, you know, so let's say it's 119. Well, that's 29 more than he's ever thrown as a pro. Last year was in single A and double A. There's a long way to go in this career. The great thing is, for those who would root for such a thing, you go tonight and not be surprised at all that Chris Paddock goes 7 really strong innings. But I'm just saying, like, Chris Paddock has so much upside that I just wonder if the rest of this season, you know, they're not going to be another 7 2/3 innings, you know, that are shut out.
I will be surprised. He's pitched 115 innings this year. I will be surprised if he lasts 7 innings against a lineup like this, given his pitch limits and all that stuff. I mean, it almost feels like if they could get 5 out of him tonight.
I won't be surprised, Jay.
That would be, that would be good. And then, but look, going forward, I mean, Paddock has shown signs that he could be very good. Cal Quantrill has pitched very well. We won't see him in this series.
That's the story of the year.
But he's been outstanding.
And everything.
And imagine that. Cal Quantrill, who was, eighth pick overall? There was a reason he was picked that high. Obviously, the people were really high on him, and now he's pitching like that. We'll also see Denelson Lamet tomorrow,
and Joey Lucchesi on Sunday.
On Sunday. The Red Sox have Nathan Eovaldi, who has not been good this year, on Saturday. They haven't announced a starter for Sunday, but indications are it could be David Price coming off the injured list. So that would be another interesting matchup for the Padres there.
The reason I say Cal Quantrill, by the way, story of the year, I realize Fernando Tatis is the story of the year. But Cal Quantrill, in particular on the pitching side, and everyone knows what I think of Chris Paddock, but Cal Quantrill, as you mentioned, the first round pick in 2016, Eric Lauer and Joey Lucchesi beat him
to the majors.
To the majors.
Right. They were both picked right after. Lauer right after. Lucchesi a few rounds later.
The fourth. So there was, not only was he not doing well, according to people that, know this stuff, his stuff wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in his head, and he wasn't making good pitches, and then pretty good spring, and then he blew apart, and it was like, we're all watching, and I'm asking people because I always say, I'm not a coach, I'm not a scout, so I talk to coaches and scouts.
Right.
And they're going, yeah, that stuff's flat, man. His stuff is better, his fastball is faster and going to the right spots, and the kid is, we'll go back to this again, he's a bulldog. Everyone knows what that means. That's why I say Cal Quantrill actually becoming one of your middle of the rotation guys is huge. Cal Quantrill's the guy you say is going to go out and give you six.
Absolutely.
Now, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and we'll see him against another really good lineup on, I think, Tuesday. He'll pitch against the Dodgers after the Dodger killer, Eric Lauer, will pitch on Monday. But we'll deal with that next week. The one thing with the Red Sox, which will be familiar to Padre fans, is their bullpen isn't very good. Had a lot of issues this year. They only have 24 saves out of their 68 wins.
That's incredible.
I mean, how many saves does Kirby Yates have?
He has 30. Well, now you're going to stump me because I want to say that it's 36.
Okay, so in that range without looking.
But then there's
about,
Craig Stammen that has three. I mean, you pick up these saves every once in a while.
Their leaders have seven each.
All right.
Brandon Workman, you look at his numbers. I mean, he's got an ERA just over two in 58 games, seven saves, but five blown saves. So,
well, you knew when you gave those offensive numbers, and for my story, I did all this research in the league, and I didn't be honest with you, I didn't even look up the Red Sox pitching because I knew that there were problems if their offense is that good.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, if their offense is that good and they're only seven games over 500 and in grave danger of missing the playoffs, they've obviously got a problem.
It's like in the National League, the anomaly, among the teams that have been division leaders here in the last week or in the wild card lead or right there, the St. Louis Cardinals are the anomaly. Their offense is not very good. Their pitching is very good.
Right,
their bullpen
right.
is probably the best in the game all around. So got to have one or the other. You got to have both. You got to be like super good at one. And obviously it's not working out for the Red Sox, though. Red Sox would probably be a pretty good National League team.
Yeah, I think so. Yates up to 39 saves, by the way.
How did I miss that?
I don't know what
I missed? Philadelphia.
Right. So he's one behind Aroldis Chapman, who pitches for a little bit better team in terms of league. So we could be seeing Yates get his 40th save this weekend against the Red Sox. So anyway, I think I'm looking forward to being out there a couple times this weekend, and then the Dodgers following. So should be a fun homestand, and you and I will check in again on Monday. We'll talk about what happened over the weekend, and we'll look forward to the Dodgers series. I'm sure they'll have two or three more ninth inning wins by the time we talk. So
thanks, everybody.